Well, it's a weekend. It's a Friday. It's good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic to a big mic. So welcome. It's our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of eight. As I said, it's Friday morning. It's Friday. It's always have that good vibes, good feelings, because you're looking forward to the weekend. So how is your Friday morning? All right. Haven't heard very much from, where is my people? People from Katima. Haven't heard someone from Katima for a while now. Rundu, where are you? Where are you? We're missing you. We're cutting you off. Rundu, you know, Katima, we're cutting you off. We don't hear anything from you anymore. Where are you? So how is my region doing? You know, the Zambezi region is my region. I love that region. I would live in that region. So, Kietman Suop, Hardap and Karas. So, how are you this morning? Okay. Anonymous. Yeah. So the Erongo region, you know, how are you? Missing you. Actually haven't heard, from these guys, from that part of the world. Where are you and how are you doing? So we started to worry. Are you gone? Hopefully not. Definitely not. All right. So good morning to you. And thanks for joining us this morning. It's a Friday. It's normally quiet and slow. We do normally go slow and quiet a little bit. Yeah. We don't explode. Yeah. We take it easy on Friday. Okay. So yes, my name is Mike Calciavelli and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, in economic news and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of big stories, trends and headlines making headlines. I mean, numbers making headlines. So, and we keep it clear. Sometimes a little witty and also always asking question, always curious. Asking question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views and the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what are they saying, what other people are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. If you're just joining us, good morning and welcome. You are on right. You're not late. You're the boss. You can't be late. You're the boss. The boss is never late. The boss is always delayed. So thanks for joining us and welcome on board. And as usual, we go into history. So we see what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning. Let me welcome my African listeners. Good morning, Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we turn the pages of our shared history to see what moments, both big and small, and shaped, you know, events that shaped our continent on the 30th of January. So we start in 1957. The world was watching South Africa. So on this day, the United Nations Assembly spoke out clearly. They formally urged the South African government to rethink its policy of apartheid. Now, this was a significant moment. It was a very important moment. It was the international community saying, "Hey, we see what is happening, and we do not agree." So it was a powerful early steps in the global pressure that would eventually help bring that unjust system down. And a voice on the world stage standing up for justice. 5 years later, in 1962, Nelson Mandela arrived in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. So he was there to address a major conference on African freedom movement. So he was seeking support for the armed struggle. So it was a turning point. Now, at this point, it was really a turning point in South Africa, showing the world that the fight against apartheid was entering a new and more determined phase. So, and our journey now takes us to the mountain kingdom of Lesotho. The mountain kingdom of Lesotho. The year is 1970. On this day, then Prime Minister Chief Leabua Jonathan made a drastic move. What did he do? He declared a state of emergency, he suspended the constitution, and began to rule by decree. Now, it was a powerful shift that actually sent a shockwave through the country. And in actual fact, led to years of political instability and unrest in the Mountain Kingdom. So a reminder that the path of self-governance was often difficult and turbulent one in the Mountain Kingdom of Lesotho. But on the years, on the very same day, on this day, 2 years later, in 1972, another African nation was stepping into the world stage. After gaining its independence, Angola was officially welcomed as a member of the United Nations. Now, this was more than just a ceremony. It was a formal recognition now of Angola, of Angola's place among the community of nations, and a new chapter for Angola in its story of a sovereign country. So, and that brings us to today, this very day, today and the future. So the works of building a better Africa continues. Right now, as we speak, right now, as we pick the African Union's Peace and Security Council is actually scheduled to hold its 1,328th session today. So this meeting is very special, because it is to commemorate the 4th Africa Day of Peace and Reconciliation. So it's a moment to reflect on the conflict of our past, like those one we have spoken about today, and to recommit ourselves to the future of peaceful, united, and thriving continent. That is on this day in Africa for today, right? Join us next time as we continue to explore the rich and complex history of our continent. So good morning and welcome. So this is Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, we're going to look at our thought for the day. So stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And today is Friday, the 30th of January. What is our thought for the day today? The man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. The man who moves the mountain begins by carrying away small stones. Now, the proverb means that even the biggest, most daunting challenges are conquered not by giant leaps, but by taking small and steady steps over time. Now, it teaches that success is not about a single dramatic, effort, but about breaking a larger goal into many manageable pieces and taking them one by one. So, the proverb highlights the importance of persistence. Progress doesn't always happen in a big, in a big burst. It is the day in, day out effort that eventually shift the mountain. Now, instead of being overwhelmed by how big the mountain is, focus on the next stone in front of you. Okay? That mindset make seemingly impossible goal feel achievable. So, whatever you do today, whatever decision you make and choices you're making today, make sure that you're breaking them into manageable pieces and tackling them one by one. So, the man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stone. That's our thought for the day. So, good morning to you and welcome and thanks for joining us. So, we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio, from the mighty region of Oshana region. So, thank you for joining us, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure always to be in your company. So today, what are we looking for? What are we going to talk about? What is that we have for you? Now, today we had two very interesting stories in today's edition of the villages, and this is what we're going to concentrate on. There is a story about on the front page story that we're going to look at. It's about Namibia has spent nearly half a billion Namibian dollar in importing rice. We're going to look at that, so and dissect that a little bit. Okay, so very interesting. So when you listen to a story like that, let me just give you something. When you listen to a story like that, you probably, it doesn't really click much, but there's really so much on the story like that, because, it really exposes how serious we are in terms of our national development. Our national development plan in terms of job creation and food security. So, and we're going to look at what other things we're going to concentrate after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Yes, make sure that you have, find your way to UNAM if you want to actually, improve that profession of yours. All right. So very good morning. And I was just giving you the outlook of what we're going to talk about. And the second thing that we're going to look at, it's another story, very interesting story in today's edition of the Villager. So the cost of connecting a remote rural household to the national grid. Guess how much that would cost you? It's ranging from 80,000 to 300,000. Whoa, 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 whoa. When are we going to reach the universal access of electricity in Namibia? So those are stories that are very interesting. So it's right, very, how does that, enticing. So that we're going to look at. Make sure that you unpack this with me And of course, your participation will also be part of the show as usual. So let's do this together. After this second, after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM, and this is the eye. So good morning, Namibia. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Mike Oshaveri. Welcome, and grab your coffee, your tea, you know, settle in wherever you find yourself, because today we are talking about Namibia spending nearly half a billion Namibian dollar in a year importing, you know, rice. Half a billion. Let that sink in a little bit, you know, half a billion importing rice. Now, so the question I really want us to wrestle with this today, the question I want us to wrestle with today is this. Why are we sending all this money? And do you know where we're sending this money? Why are we sending all this money to Thailand and South Africa when we could actually be growing rice right here at home? So why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And that's tied to what I said earlier on. So headlines like this or stories like this, you read it, but it has implication. It really, really has implications. Stories like this, it's exposing certain things. It's exposing us in a very serious manner, where we really look at where we're thinking, where you can really serious question how serious are we when it comes to our development plan, our goals on a developing plan. So when it comes to food security, when it comes to employment. So yes, why are we sending all this money, which is actually a lot of money that could have done something here, and sending to Thailand and South Africa when we can and we could be growing rice right here at home? So that's what we're looking at. Let's unpack that together. Let me paint the picture for you, okay? Let me paint the picture for you from the story. According to the Namibian Statistics Agency, between November 2024 and November 2025, we imported rice worth of 421 million. That's a lot of mula. Huh? That's honestly a lot of mula. You know, every single month, we are spending between 21 million and 75 million on rice imports. Now, think of 75 million. So think of what else we could do with that money. Yeah? Think of school, hospital, road, job creation. What we could actually, you know, what else we could actually do with that money? 75 million on rice imports. But instead, what do? That money is actually flowing out of our country. It's flowing out of our economy straight into the pocket of foreign farmers and rice producers elsewhere. Now, you know what the most painful thing is? What is really stink? If I can put it that way. I hope I haven't sweat. No, I haven't. You know, what really stinks is that we can grow rice in Namibia. We can grow rice in Namibia. We already are. Now, on a small scale, of course. Now, we have small-scale farmers in Omshati already who are doing it. And there is Kalimbeza Project. Kalimbeza Project is sitting there, waiting to be revived. So why aren't we scaling this up? Why are we not scaling this up? And why are we still so dependent on imports? That's why I said, are we really serious of what we're talking about? When we're talking about food security, are we really, really serious? Or this is just, you know, nice things to say, you know, kind of rhetoric things that are common, you know, for a politician to say. So, now, according to the article, we have a rice farmer. We have rice farmers. Few of the bravest who are trying to make this work, who are trying to make food security work in Namibia. Food security works in Namibia. One rice farmer in the article tells us that the government support, the support exists, but it does exist, but it arrives very late. Now, for these farmers, said, well, there are some few support. There are little support. There are some support from the government. But the problem is that it arrives late. Farm apply for, they apply for tractors, for example. They apply for tractor, but the time they arrive, the time the tractors arrive, the planting season has already passed. Because apparently, those tractors were being used somewhere else first. Now, on what they were being used, nobody knows. Now, can you imagine the frustration? You are ready to work. You are ready to work, ready to feed the nation, but the tools you need are stuck in bureaucratic delays. And this is not just inefficiency. This is not just inefficiency. It's actually, when you look at it, this is an opportunity lost. It's a potential wasted. When you have actually people that are ready to work, that are ready, you know, the land is there, everything is there, and all that is needed is equipment. It's an opportunity lost. It's a potential definitely wasted. So, now, the farmer are calling for faster intervention. They're asking the government to build dams and boreholes for farmers willing to cultivate rice. So because these are all the resources that they need to be able to meet the demand, because there is demand. They are saying, give us infrastructure, and we will deliver the result. They're saying that. Give us the infrastructure and we will deliver the results. And here's my question to you. And I want you really to think, Namibia. If a farmer is willing to do the work, shouldn't the government be willing to meet them halfway? Shouldn't supporting local food production be a national priority? It should, because it is a priority. It is a priority. And aren't we doing it? Why aren't we doing it? Why are not we doing it? Now, that's another element, geography, that comes out of the article. So let's talk about that and the potential of that. So the rice farmer also point out something very crucial. Namibia has the flat plains, you know, flat plains, especially in the north. we have area perfectly suited for rice cultivation. You know, our soil can handle it, you know, and this year, especially with good rainfall, even last year, so we have the water rice needs, because rice needs quite a lot of water. So on the floodplains on this side, we have the water that rice needs. All that we need to do, as I said, as the farmer has saying, eh? So we just need, you know, to build the resort where this water actually can be contained, where we the earth dams that they're referring to, eh? So yeah, so we have good rainfall, and we have the water, the rice that needs actually, but it goes wasted. It is another resource wasted. That's another opportunity, you know, lost, as I said. And the other things that they mention is that rice, it doesn't take forever. It doesn't take forever to grow. Eh? 3 to 4 months from planting to harvest. Yeah, you compare that to other crops, you know, it's like relatively quick. Eh? So, and the financial return, according to the farmers, a 2 kilo bag of rice sell for $35. Now you compare that to a bag of millet, a bucket of millet, eh? You know, that 1 liter, 1 kilo, what is that? How big are those ones? So that bucket of millet cost around 120. So rice is cheaper for consumers and potentially more profitable for farmers. So the opportunity is staring us right in the face. Eh? It's staring us right in the face. We have land, we have the water this year, you know, and many other years, and we have farmers willing to work. What is missing? Systematic, consistent government intervention. That is what missing. It's not me saying, it's what the farmers are saying. A systematic, consistent government intervention. That is what is missing. And there's something we're missing here. We're really, 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 really missing a bigger picture. And as Namibian, there's something that we're not really taking seriously. And I'm going to discuss that after this. Okay?
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. All right. So yeah, I was explaining that there's a bigger picture here we are missing. All right. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Namibia actually spending close to, you know, close to $1 billion in when it comes to importing. $500 million, importing rice in Namibia. So, and as I was saying earlier, that there's a bigger picture that we are missing here. Okay. It's easy to not dismiss, but you read the article and you're really not contextualizing it, and not taking how serious this is. Okay? So let's broaden this out. Let's broaden this out for a second. So there are promises that we make, whether they are in our development plan, in NDP 6 or Harambe Prosperity or Vision 2030, there are promises that a bigger picture that we have. Now, and we seem to forget that immediately and get into our pressing issue of day-to-day, of a day-to-day, you know, life. So when we import 421 million worth of rice, when we import, and I want you to understand this seriously, okay? So when we import 421 million worth of rice, we are not just buying food, all right? We're not just buying food. We are exporting jobs. We are exporting jobs. We are exporting economic growth. So we are exporting food security. That's what we do. Yeah? That's exactly what we do. So, and think about it. So every kilogram of rice we import, every kilogram of rice we import is a kilogram a Namibian farmer could have grown, but it's being grown somewhere else. And that's an income they didn't earn. It's an income they didn't earn. That's an employment that didn't happen. That is tax revenue the government didn't collect. Yeah? And that is a multiplier effect. Through our local economy, that never occurred. Do you understand? And that's why I said we're missing. We're really missing. So you look at this and sometimes there is so much. It does. The story exposes so much, you know, about inefficiency in the way how we implement our program. In the article, a horticulturist and farmer, a rice farmer, makes this point beautifully. He looks at the 31 million we spent just in November 2025 alone, and sees it as a proof. Yeah, as a proof of what? Namibia love rice. That means we love rice. It actually is the, you know, it's a staple food, where now every day, if it's not pap, it's actually rice. That's the alternative. It's actually like either with pap rice. Pap rice actually is one of the most eaten, you know, staple food now in Namibia. So Namibia love rice. So what does it mean? The demand is there. Eh? The demand is there. The market is proven. It's already proven. Yeah? But local producers aren't meeting the demand. The local producers are not meeting the demand. And why not? Why aren't they not meeting the demand? It's because they don't have the training. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have consistent support. What are we doing here? What are we doing? But we keep talking about food security, food security, food security. Eh? You know, these are some, it doesn't need a rocket science. It doesn't need some scientific in food security or some kind of scientist in food security or something. You know, it's a simple, common thing. Eh? The demand is there. The market is proven. Eh? This is a staple food that Namibians eat every day. So, but our local producers, they are on a small scale. Yeah? They are on a small scale and they can't meet the demand. And of course, the reasons being that, first of all, we need some, they require some training. You know, this is a new crop that requires some training. The other thing is that we have the land. The other thing is that we have the land. Or we can also spare land, you know, to plant rice. And we don't have the infrastructure. Well, infrastructure part of the land as well. So they don't have the consistent support from the government. Or maybe investment from private sector, in private sectors as well. But this is a responsibility of the government when it comes to meeting the national goal, national priorities. And here's something very concerning, you know, a bit concerning. And something maybe we need to talk about honestly. Now, in the article, the farmer pointing out that many people aren't willing to collaborate with small-scale farmers. Now, they prefer job with immediate salaries rather than actually building a farm from scratch. So many people would prefer actually immediate salaries. Now, so let me ask you. So have we become comfortable with guaranteed paycheck? Now, generally, as Namibian, have we become more comfortable? Maybe that's why. The other thing is also maybe from ourselves. Have we become too comfortable with guaranteed paycheck? Have we lost that entrepreneurial spirit, that willingness to invest in something that takes, you know, time to build? Have we lost that? I'm not judging here, really. I'm not judging. I'm genuinely asking. Farming is hard. Farming is hard work. It's not for faint-hearted. So it's hard working. It's uncertain. It's not something that you completely certain. It is risky, but it's also how we build long-term wealth. I remember my boss one time have an interview, you know. The salary, you know, the paycheck, as I'm saying, are we too comfortable with the guarantee of paycheck? That is not how you build wealth. This risk of farming, this hard work, the risk that you take in this, that's how you build long-term wealth and food security. Are we as a nation willing to make that investment? Surely we're not. We talk about it, but there's no commitment to it. This is a typical example where we should be able to. We shouldn't be able to, import rice. So, and another point is that many people don't seek information. According to the article, is that also that many people don't seek information. Don't seek out information. The Ministry of Agriculture has resources and guidance, but farmers aren't going after it. So there is also that shortcoming from farmers' point of view. Why is that? Why aren't we looking after that? I mean, look after this information. Is it a lack of awareness? Is it distrust in the government support, or what is it? Is it just easier to stick with what we know? Sometimes that's how we behave, you know? It's easier to stick to what you know. Yeah? And this is an opportunity because the demand is there. The demand is there. Now, this is a question we need to really, really, really ask ourselves. Seriously. So, yeah, and maybe let's talk about the responsibility, okay? Let's talk about the responsibility. Yes, farmers need to be proactive. Yeah? They need to be proactive. Yes, community need to embrace agricultural opportunities. But let's be very, very clear. The primary responsibility here lies with the government. it lies with the government, because the food security is a national security issue. Eh? It is a national security issue. When you are importing nearly $500 million worth of staple food, eh? You are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. What happened if Thailand has a bad harvest? Eh? What happened if a global rice, a global rice price just went up? And this is a staple food for Namibia. This is a staple food in Namibia now. It's something on the table every day. So what happened if there's a trade disruption as there are so many conflicts around the world? What happened? So government intentions, I mean government interventions, I think it's not just something nice to have. As I said, this is government responsibility. This is food security is a national security issue. And this is not just something nice to have to these farmers or something. It is essential. And what does that intervention look like? Eh? What does that intervention look like? The farmers have pointed out clearly. They have pointed out those things clearly. What are they? We need infrastructure. We need infrastructure, but build those dams and boreholes. Make water accessible, because that's the problem. Eh? Build those dams and boreholes. Make water accessible. Sometimes we lose the water. We could actually build dams. Waters are there, years after years. So, I said, what does the intervention look like? We need equipment. Get tractors, machineries to the farmers when they need them. Get them to them when they need them. Not months later, as it's reported in the article. So there's also a need for training. Establish comprehensive agricultural training programs so farmers know how to maximize yield, their productions. So, and land access, that's also very important. Facilitate land distribution for those willing to farm rice. This is very important. This is essential to our national priority. Food security priority. And the other thing is to help small-scale farmers connect with the buyers and market, market support. Yeah? And of course, financial support. Yeah? Financial support. Provide loans, subsidy or grant, whatever it is, to get rice production off the ground. Yeah? And as I said, this is not a rocket science. Other countries have done this successfully. Which country was the one? Morocco? What country was actually looking that, they are now exporting, outside to Europe or to China or, out of Africa. They are not importing, exporting. I just forget which country is that. Why can't we? Why can't we? And let's not forget about Kalimpeza. This project exists. It's just sitting there, waiting to be revived. Why has it been revived? What is the holdup? So if we have existing infrastructure that could be producing rice, shouldn't reviving it be an urgent priority? If we have that infrastructure, because now this one thing is that infrastructure. If we have those infrastructure, how many more years will we, will we let 400 million, flow out of the country while Kalimpeza sit idle? Namibia, we should be asking serious questions. We should be asking these serious questions. And these are the questions our leader need to answer. So these are the questions our leaders need to answer. And this is serious. And I'm fuming. As you can imagine, I'm honestly fuming. You know, I want to hear from you. Okay, I want to hear from you. Come through and let's debate this. Okay, so, okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. Should the government make rice production a national priority? Should it make it a national priority? We have Kalimpeza. It's sitting there idle. Or should we accept that importing is just easier and more efficient? Maybe that we should just accept that, okay, importing is much, much easier than and maybe more efficient than actually producing ourselves. And are Namibian farmers being given enough support? Do you think they are given enough support, or are we expecting them to perform miracles with limited resources? Maybe that's what we, you know, it's like Jesus multiplying manas. Is that what we're expecting? Are we expecting them to perform miracles with the limited resources as we see? Maybe you. What do you think? Would you consider actually getting into rice farming? If the government, let's say, for example, the government provided land, water infrastructure is available, training is available. So would you actually consider, you know, venturing into rice farming? Because it's a lucrative, as you can see, it's a viable business. Or is farming just not attractive anymore? Is it not just attractive anymore? Maybe too many young people is no longer attractive anymore. So these are some of the questions I'm just throwing out there for you. You're most welcome to come through now. And is spending a $500 million on rice import acceptable? Is that acceptable? Seriously? Or is this a crisis we are ignoring? Just because I can pick up a bag of rice, we're not paying attention. I really want to know what you think. So, because this is not just about rice. For me, this is not just about rice. This is about our economic future, our food security, and what kind of nation we want to build. And that's what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing. All right. 08333 66091. 08333 66091. So do come through. And as I said, I have a couple of questions that I ask you. Let's debate. Let's have a conversation. So 08333 66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. And this is Eagle FM. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, we're looking at Namibia spending 421 million annually on rice imports. Okay? And that's actually a massive, massive economic leakage. You can call that as economic leakage. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that's what we have been unpacking at this point in time. Now, as we looking at this, it looks like we have the capacity to grow rice locally. You know, we have the capacity to grow locally. Small scale farmers are already doing this. They are already doing it. And the Kalimbeza project could be revived. So my question is why it's taking too long. What is holding it up? Why is holding it up? So, yeah. And farmers, as we can see from the article, they are willing to work. But they need timely government support. Yeah? The support always comes very late when, you know, the planting season is already done. So, yeah, they need government support. They need infrastructure. They need equipment. They need training. They need land access. You know, if we want really to produce from the small scale level, but from really, you know, a large scale level where we're thinking of food security for Namibia, where we're trying to meet our development plan, our development goal, our development priorities. So, yeah. And we see that the market exists. Of course, the market exists. Namibia love rice. So the demand is proven. We just need to meet it locally. So we just need to meet it locally. And this is ultimately about national priority. Eh? It's national priority. So I keep saying that food security requires government intervention. The question is whether our leaders have the political will to make it happen. You hear them saying, so food security. Eh? And here's an opportunity. Do they have the gut to make it happen? Or it's just lip services and rhetoric? Do they have the political will to make it happen? But not only them, we all have a role to play. Of course, every one of us have a role to play. Farmers need to seek out information, as we talked about earlier. The farmers need to seek information and training. All right? The government need to provide consistent support. And we, as maybe consumers, we need to support. We need to support local rice when we see them and when it becomes available. Yeah? We need to support our local rice when it comes available. So yeah, every one of us have a role to play. It's not just about the government, but every one of us have definitely a role to play. All right. So you're most welcome to come through. You can come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So my friends, $500 million is leaving our country every year for rice. Yeah, $500 million. We can change that. We have the land, we have the water, we have the farmers, you know, and the demand. What do we need? So what we need is vision, commitment, and action. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning. Good morning. I can't hear you. Are you there? I can't hear you.
What's happening? Can you hear me? Man, I can't hear you. Try again. Please.
All right. What is going on with my phone? I hate this kind of glitch, you know, that happens. Technical things always sometimes get into the way of doing the things the way you want to do it. All right. So, yeah, our telephone number is 0808-333-6091. Do come through. Let's see if that's going to work again, if it was on your side or maybe it's on my side. So 0808-333-6091. So as I said, 500 million, we can change that. We can definitely change that. All we need, it's political will. It's need commitment. We need visionary. It's, we need the vision. You know, people with a vision. Eh? You know, come on, Namibia. Eh? There are just certain things that, I don't know. This is something we shouting every day, but, you know, putting it in practice, it just seemed to be a daunting task. Eh? All we need is vision. As I said, all we need is vision and commitment. Yeah? Commitment. And also stop talking and doing the work. That's all what we need to do. And let's hold our government accountable, because this is our priority. It is within our priority. It's a national priority, food security national priority. Let's not just lay back, guys. Yeah? The reason why we bring you this is in the villages. This is what we're discussing here. It's awareness. Yeah? And this is not just about to criticize the government or talk about just for the sake of talk. It's really that let's look at things that can improve the life of our people by holding, you know, people accountable. A very good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. I would like to ask, what is your frequency in Mindo?
What is what? The frequency?
Yes.
Is it 104? Okay, let me quickly see. I'm not too sure. 100%.
Okay. Just listening on the website, but then on the radio, I couldn't find it.
I think it's 104. Colleagues, you're gonna help me quickly to see what is the. I can just quickly check. It's gonna take me a few seconds. To open up what I want to look at. Let's just hold on a few minutes then. My computer is loading very a bit slowly, but I'm gonna give it to you. So Windtuk, let me quickly go to the frequencies. I'm almost there. So Windtuk is actually, where is Windtuk? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I just don't have Windtuk on the list of the whole thing. It's amazing, you know? I think it's 104, okay? I'm not too sure, but it's actually 104.
104.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been trying on that.
It's 104.0. It should be 104.0 because Okanja is 104.0. It's the same as around Windtuk. So it's 104.0, all right?
Actually, it's not working.
It's not working?
Yes, because I checked on the website also.
Yeah.
And it was showing like 104.0.
Yeah.
104.0, but then...
There's nothing coming through.
nothing coming through, so...
Okay, I'm going to let the technical people, it could be something that is...
For the whole week now.
The whole week?
Yeah, because I've been listening to the, on the app.
Yeah. No. Thanks, man. Thanks for letting us know. I probably someone is listening also from the technical people to do something. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Frequency hasn't been working for the whole week. Vintuk frequency. So what is going on? All right. So the caller was just wanting to know what is going on. Let's attend to that. All right. Yeah. All right. So as I said, let's support our local farmers. And let's build a Namibia that feeds itself. So that could be the goal. We want to build to build Namibia that feed itself. That's the goal of some of the founders of this nation. They wanted to see Namibia feeding itself, not actually just depending on other countries feeding us. All right. So if you want to, you know, react to that, our telephone number again is 08-333-66091, 08-333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say. All right. So we'll be back after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, this is your number one talk radio station. And if the frequency is not on Wintuk or anywhere else, please make sure that you download your app, your Eagle FM mobile app, and to stay connected to Eagle FM at all the time and wherever you find yourself. When you find yourself in that out of range of the frequency, well, you always have your backup, you know, and it's right with you in your pocket. So that is the Eagle FM mobile app. Just download right away. So just to make yourself to be on the right side of things, okay? Let me just put it that way. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome. You are on Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. So with me, Michael Chiavelli. So our time, it's about 5 minutes past the hour of nine. We've been looking at Namibia spending 421 million, you know, on rice import. So while we have the capacity to grow rice locally. So what is going on, Namibia? So are we not addressing our food security issue
as a national priority. So, yeah. And if you want to react to the story, you're most welcome to do that. Our telephone number again, 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So otherwise, we're moving forward because we have other very important stories as well, important you know, issues to look at as well. Now let's, in this segment, let's tackle a topic that is, I think that's a key. This topic is really a key to development. It's a key to job creation. It's a key to education. It's a key to opportunity. How we power our lives. Well, I'm not talking about political power. I'm talking about electrical power. Okay, and so I'm talking about electric power, the kind that power a light bulb, so a child can study. That keeps a fridge running for a small business, and that connects a clinic to the world. That's the power I'm talking about. This is also another stories that we have in the Villager, in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe for the Villager if you're just joining us and you don't know, you can subscribe for the Villager for free, and you will be then receiving the Villager e-newspaper on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So all what you have to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this number, 081-241-44. You sent your number and, I mean, you sent your name and your email and say subscribe. So, and you will be then receiving your free digital, copy of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe, and it is for free. All right, it is absolutely for free. We bring all this information for you, for absolutely for free. Yeah. Now the government has revealed. Okay, let's get to the story. Okay, let's get to the story. So it is Friday. Our mind, our mind thinks different on Friday. So some people's mind actually think differently on Friday. Yeah. So the government has revealed, that to connect just one rural house, just to connect one rural home to the national electricity grid can cost anywhere from 80,000 to a massive, massive, staggering 300,000. 300,000 dollars, Namibian dollars, for one house. All right, what does that number even mean? Okay, when you look at that number, I always tell people that number speaks. What does that number mean? It means, when I look at the number, it means the promise of universal electricity access, which was actually the promise was that in 2022, every Namibian should have access to electricity. That's what we're talking about, universal electricity access. So it was made that in 2022, every Namibian should have access to electricity. That hasn't happened. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. It's Friday, and how are you?
You're not. It's Friday and the same thing.
You see?
That's why we are not calling
The mind is on the money.
I'm telling
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money, my friend.
Yeah.
Akuchatumana for Fimbana at Popsapopini, my. Tavalukashitomanda.
If we can able to buy 10 kg of rice today, then you are talking about rice. I know. I'm going to the server.
You see? Exactly. We're rushing, you know, for the little that we have now. And it could be cheaper. It could be cheaper because if you were producing...
Oh, it's not even cheap.
No.
It could be cheaper if we were producing Namibia.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to say, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really, it, sometimes you really get angry because this is something that you, you know, it's simple to do.
Very much.
Eh?
I'm telling you.
It's simple to do. It's not rocket science. You don't, you know, it's just a commitment to say.
You don't need a list to do that. To
no. It's, you just need to provide land, and construct dam for water. Boreholes,
energy, and the we needed, and we have solar energy.
Yeah,
solar energy, isn't it?
Just do one thing right, man. Just do one thing right.
Oh, those are basic things, my friend. So we don't need something like a machine from Netherlands or whatever. No.
Yeah, and do you know what? This is could be a very good project for a certain region. You know, let's say for example for Umsati region or Angwena region. You know, it could be a really big project that would employ a lot of people as well. You know,
I'm telling you, Mike, the whatever we are fighting for, the resources to be allocated to us, it's already with us.
Yeah.
The only thing what we need is just a simple thing with somebody to stand up and say, no, guys, no more lights coming outside.
Mm.
Just like you remember the potato which was produced by Shikoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then now they are crying for the market. How can you cry the market if you're having a hospital in Shikoto? You're having a lot of hostel. Yeah, many people are having hostel.
Yeah.
And even the prison also there in Shikoto.
I mean, how can you cry for market if the market is there? The
you cut off, they said no, Ministry of Health. You have to go to this guy directly. You are not going to buy whatever we used to supply you. Cut it the time.
Yeah.
Because now we have enough potato. So why should you go and procure from somebody else? We have a farm with under our district.
Yeah. We actually, that when the people are crying that there's no market, is because the market is actually being filled up by foreign product.
Right.
You understand? And that's why I don't have a market, because they're already foreign products in the market. You understand? And
to make it even worse, Mike, I mean,
yeah,
they can even deplete their place.
Mm.
So you learn out of the market. You end up selling it by black market only.
Yeah, and you're not making money out of it.
That's what is happening.
Yeah, you end up actually...
Until you wake up one day, if the corona come back again, maybe we will realize. Because we never learn anything different. We're still doing the same thing.
Yeah. Actually, the thing is, the irony is this, is things that we can be able to do ourselves, but we're still actually taking money outside, taking job outside, taking, you know, that's the most painful thing. Yeah?
You know, when I'm saying follow the money, the money is there, somebody would benefit out of that.
Yeah.
Or I've bought the job outside. There must be somebody who's connected to those people who are supplying us the product we need. A Namibian person. And is getting money, but at the end of the day, for us, we become vulnerable. Because the moment that they say, no, guys, we are not able to supply you because we are not able to take care of our customer needs in our country. So what else? We have to learn around.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
Sometimes, Andume, we just don't want to start where others started. The reason being that at the very beginning, it's going to be very expensive for us to start. Yeah? Because now you compare that local production, I mean, local product could be, it might be a little bit expensive than the compared to the foreign product. The reason is that because where they are, they can now produce massively, and they, yeah, compared to where we are. So, and we don't want to start there, you know. So we now just kind of like, okay, let's just focus. Let's just go with what we have. We are just more comfortable with having rice coming from Thailand, which is much cheaper, you know, and from South Africa compared to our own. But we don't realize that we are vulnerable. That actually put us in a vulnerable situation. We were depending for something for our daily, for staple food. We depend on other countries. That.
You know, my friend, when you hear the young people saying, you are saying, my friend, I think you are grown up now. It's time you are saying, getting salary.
Yeah.
Can you just even buy one gate? I was saying, no, my gate is in the bank. You see, that is the way our government are moving.
Yeah.
And now, when you check, you are saying your gate is in the bank. There will be emergency. When you're having emergency, we can even be worth 8,000.
Mm.
I can say 25. But because we don't have another alternative, you have to buy it. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, because you need, maybe you're having a funeral.
Yeah, Shanaja.
You need it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We must not have a reasonable of like that, what our government are doing, because we have a self-fulfillment with a life.
Yeah.
In the world. But where's our life in the self of that retailer which you are buying?
Exactly.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me we kill Kazeba for nothing because of the tractor broken, what. But we are here buying SOV for honorable deputy and whatever. Why cannot spend that money in the tractors?
And you keep publicly you keep food security every day.
Yeah. But you are not doing anything.
And the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there where you now where you can show where your mouth is. Yeah. But we're not doing it. Yeah.
Michael, we are worse. I'm telling you, we are worse. We are the people who, I'm telling you, everybody is saying we are doing better because they never travel. Yeah. But once you go to other countries and you check how even their food so cheap comparing to ours.
Oh yeah.
Can understand that you may spend. And then we are not doing anything. Because if you look at our rate, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
You check it, our electricity, it's very expensive. You check even the food stuff, my friend, it's out of the roof.
So
at the end of the day, you want a Namibian person to grow up with a decent, a decent life, but how do you do it? How do you want even people to get married if you know that people are divorcing in what? In 1 month, 400 something. These are all quitting.
Yeah.
Leave alone. He can buy that cut up school and then he lasts for. Now he's having a wife and.
You're actually looking. I mean, your pocket can't allow that, you know.
You cannot make any.
You want to marry? Of course you are.
And even to make it worse, Megan, this is where we are even like moving from outdoors, like in the north now.
Yeah.
You might go there and then you'll find a house without even a chicken. Then wonder what's going on here? This is not our life, what we used to live. We have to go back, my friend, what we started.
Yeah.
But our life, it was easy. If you just imagine a person who doesn't even have a job, but is able to feed about 30 people in the household.
I mean, we used to.
You're having a salary, but you cannot even feed more than 10 people.
Feed yourself. Not even
feed yourself.
You talk about what? Feed yourself. You cannot even feed yourself. You know.
Exactly. That's the way you see now.
Yeah.
No, Michael. Something wrong with us.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They need urgent attention for us. Let us make it a priority when it comes to food, seriously.
Yeah, no, that should be a priority, really.
Yeah, because yeah. We have to revive the green steam which we killed. Because even the North now, people are complaining already about the tractor for government.
Yeah, no, they many other people complain that it comes late. It was, we were talking about...
How can why don't service your trucks, those trucks are in November, September, and December they are available already for the people to be proud.
Now, they come they late, come like, my dear. Yeah.
Why? Why? The reason is why.
You know the plowing season is it's just a few months and you still haven't repaired your tractor. You wait until the rain comes. Like so it's when you start to actually repair the tractors. How does that work? You know.
Hey, that's a problem I think we have in our.
You know who used who actually
to do things on the last minute.
Who actually used to say these are people who are trying to manufacturing poverty.
Which is true. Yeah. I'm always complaining. I say, no, guys, you cannot have it next time, which is still standing there. But it's costing us a lot of money. But up to now, we built the dam, then now we are going for feasible study. Well, we didn't do it before we put up the dam.
Yeah.
Up to now, my friend, there's nothing going on next to the dam. But just check how much money we're pumping.
We know how to waste.
We are all celebrating that yes, we are going to the next dam. Now the hang is over. But come after even 10 years, still nothing happening.
And the funny thing, you don't hear head rolling actually. You know, nobody's arrested. Nobody, you know, money just. Someone started a road. It is not finished, and then you know they are gone. Someone you know will take over after. Sometimes it's not finished. Someone else. 3 tenders for the same. You know, and you don't hear anything.
Nothing happened. You see.
We love wasting money in Namibia. Oh, actually, giving money away just for free. Just get it. Just get it. Yeah?
No. And the sad thing is that we are eating with foreigners.
Yeah.
We are not only that we are eating the money to stay in Namibia. We are taking the money out also. Which is a bad thing because now, remember, we want to grow economy. But how do you grow economy if you are taking the money out?
Yeah,
you are shipping money like now we are 500 million is going for our life.
Yeah.
What about if you invest in Namibia, a Tunda, a Karinzeba, you know, even the Tekabango Jumundu.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and even had that day, there was also a farm going on. But up to now, even the resettlement of the government farm, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
The only people there and the people have started putting a kabasho, but we having a youth, we have even an exile kid, which up to now, they are still camping there. What about if you give them down? You say, okay, this is your farm, guys. Start doing gardening. This is the tools, everything is here. Water and electricity is available. I will give you 6 months to produce something.
If we focus on farming, in each region, if we come up with a different project in each region, definitely we will be, first of all, we'll be able to create jobs. Secondly, we will be able now to meet our food security priority, you know, and that's doable. It is absolutely doable, you know.
I'm telling you, man, seriously, we cannot waste money anymore, man. We need, and I thought maybe our president, when she was talking, I thought there was something even going on already, like in Karizeba.
It's about now for us as citizens as well. As I said, sometime nashe venini nashe opotuliyik, you know. Ah, no, you have to lombore kesa atu nuka atu karata
haka.
Okuja po atu karata, you know.
Atu mwena atu dima,
you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's why issue with us also complaining like you are. The day before, I'm saying, no, guys, even, you know, did not Baroti say something like, no, you guys can help me accountable. if our national team didn't play in the semi-final match. But yeah. Anyway, you look at the semi-final, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
I'm watching there every day in Nigeria. What is this now? Can somebody stand up and unless they not do not follow what he says?
No, I'm
must have a law. Yeah. When you say something, my friend, there must be a consequence.
No, I think there must. We need some kind of like a community committee that is completely just like a watchdog of our constituents. Maybe we can do it in terms of region, or we may do it maybe like region has. We want to localize it. We want to customize it to the region, you know.
Yeah.
So that it national one, it will have a lot of. We want that in that region, have a committee that really looking at how far we go with this project. What are the projects in our regions?
Yeah.
What are those projects? How far are we? Where are the money? You know.
And why is it not completed?
Why is not completed?
Putting
pressure. Those who should be actually implementing this.
Yeah, things. Because now we have people who are doing it, and then we tell, no, I was not a governor that time when the dead body was done. Now I just come in and you see those kind of things.
Yeah, we were all clapping hands.
Thing must be continual.
Yeah.
If let me say we are having 5 years, then the project is supposed to be done with me, 7 years. Why should you come up with a different thing?
Yeah.
Why we like mess up thing? Mental thing is supposed to be done. It's supposed to be a continuous thing. But now, remember, people come up with what? Alambe prosperity. From Alambe, we are talking about gas and what now? You see?
I'm going to start. This is not going to be a political kind of an organization. It's a watchdog kind of community, whatever committee or something. You know, we have to find some kind of it. I'm gonna do that. You know. Seriously.
Remember one thing also. Yeah. That we having people who are ripping us off like you bought something or you bought expired food, but we have a health inspector.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to do that?
Yeah.
And who's taking them on task when you are buying expiring food?
They
are not doing anything. Because your Mike is my friend. Mike is the one who is having a shop selling expiring food. So it's not a big deal. We'll give you another one. But these things are supposed not to be on sale at all. The food poison.
All right, man.
All right, my brother.
No, thanks for coming through.
Okay, I wish somebody will come again.
Yeah.
But it's Friday anyway.
All right. We still have some stories here.
Okay.
All right.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Ona ovyune vya peke kwa rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. Toho, kwika ovingi no kukara norupa mondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze umurongo na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyamukife. Ashiesho imba ke kupe oshimariva shishuhina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
You got a fam? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine.
Aiti tatuto topoka okahangano ketu koku oka watchdog organization just to make the we call it an implementation kind of watchdog, you know, in any constituency or region.
In addition to the existing ones, or what is it?
No, what I'm trying to say is that what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, I want to make sure we would have some kind of a committee that making sure that all the priorities or in a constituency or in a region have a committee that's really actually after them and said, when is this going to happen? Where is the budget? When is going to this happen? You know, and why this is not happening? You know, that kind of things.
Well, it's a good thing, actually.
Yeah,
it's a good thing that I was now concerned with the existing ones, because there are also those regional structure and constituent structures, like regional constituent development funds and all these other things.
Yeah,
they have all been existing, but maybe they just need to be strengthened. And also, I love the way you said at least people need to be taken to account, even ourselves.
Yeah, no, definitely.
When it comes to a vision of projects like the one that done.
Yeah.
I know Kanzo Kampanyoka went in the fact-finding mission with the government and all these other stakeholders who went to that region. And that's where they came up with some figure and say, okay, about 33,000 people are expected to be inhabitants of those areas there where the dam is. What's this dam again? The name of the dam?
Which one is actually? The one in the south?
The one in the south.
Nectar dam?
Yes. Mm. And that people are, you know, there people are also few, and they were actually preparing the people to accept those who will be coming from different areas to work into those projects that will come out of that dam. Yeah. And when you look at the division, at the map, the road map, and just the whole structure of that thing, in terms of agriculture, in terms of employment creation and things like that, it's a massive thing.
Yeah.
And these things are actually, we are the one who are expected to get into those income generating projects, whether it's farming or any other thing that you can talk of. So if you revisit the story of Kanzo Kampanyoka and how he was narrating it here, and we're also reading in the newspaper, they were really preparing people to be ready, those ones on the southerners, to be ready so that they can then integrate themselves with the other people who are coming from there, from outside the region, because there will be a lot of things actually, and the people will not be able to work. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at the southern population and things like that, they will be very few to as compared to the kind of work that will be done there, and the similar to other projects. Of course, like rice that we were talking about this morning, and David was also talking about them. So maybe that is on the large scale. So maybe the one that we were talking with Simi was talking about with other, I forget the name of the person that was interviewed here.
Yeah.
On the little scale, so on the smaller scale, maybe that one we as individuals can also do.
Yeah, on a smaller scale,
We can also combine our efforts, our energy. We may not have money, but there are also access for money that were also indicated during those discussions, where we can go and get that. Maybe it's ourselves who also need to put ourselves to account and say, are we doing these things that are being spoken about?
Yeah.
Or are we promoting this vision that the leadership is have actually crafted up? Because if we don't, then the same way we want to take those leaders to account, we should also take ourselves to account.
Yeah, definitely. I do agree with you, and I think there is something. I agree with certain points that you're making, but there's also this name. There are projects. When let's take, for example, green hydrogen. Okay, I'm just giving an example. Just to give the picture. Green hydrogen as a project, you know, when we project in terms of how many employers that we will employ, how many, you know, what type of employment that will be actually, and what could generate, you know, as a proposal, we see that. But then it always comes to the issue of then investment. So we are proposing, this is how much we're going to employ, how many people that are going to employ, how many we're going to produce. But then it always comes down to the actual investment. So now when the actual investment hasn't come in, even if we have this proposal and this forecast of how many people employed and what we're going to produce, it doesn't happen. You understand? So, and I think sometimes some of the projects that we have or the plan that we have the plan and what they can, how many people that we can employ, but sometimes if we don't invest, you know, deliberately invest in some of these priorities, then really nothing happen. You understand? I think that's the challenge. Yeah.
The other time it was me and you were listening to the symposium with those people from university and all these other things.
Yeah.
They were talking
yeah.
about green hydrogen, and they were even saying that in every sector, every piece of work, activity, economic activity that's being done in any other sector, there is a dollar appropriated there, a portion there, for green hydrogen, meaning that even the people, the local people here, the iron, the green iron, and all these other things, we were challenged that it's up to you to increase and extend your company.
Yeah.
If you are a welder, for example, you are doing welding and fabrication, or maybe carpentry or whatever kind of those technical service, for example. So it's now up to you to say yes. This is how many iron I used to have.
Yeah.
And then you come up with your actual budget now with your proposal and all these other things. Then maybe now what we challenge you with is that it's a matter of you now deciding how to expand your business.
Yeah.
Because the investment is already there. The climate is already there. If, for example, you want now some kind of machinery, now that's to bend those ions and you know, those ions and whatever you want to do with it, then you probably just need to go to look for the artisans, and then you now go and buy those things, and then maybe expand your area. I mean, where your business space there where you are operating, and then increase the employment intake. So now this green hydrogen is not only a proposal. We are told in every day and there that the people are already producing those things that are being invested in invest. I mean, the one that are being planned.
Yeah.
So now it is up to us to take account investment. When you look at it, but Namibia, we are told we are still in the number one country in terms of investment attraction.
Yeah.
What does that tell us now? Does it now tell us that the investment that these people are talking about is just a blank statement which is rated among other countries?
Yeah.
No, perhaps those are some of the opportunities that we can leverage on.
Yeah.
And if there are some barriers, like I see, yeah, of course, there are areas like, you know, maybe in the entrepreneurship, people who might want to get in, they might lack some of those skills and things like that. And if that is the case, people are also being mentors. We were here, most of this, when if you listen to programs like David and all these things, when they bring in people, even yesterday, you now discover that maybe the staging are the one who need to motivate themselves, need to be mobilized in terms of really awakening, conscious awakening, so that we can then take up those things. I understand there are a lot of challenges. Investment is still needed in terms of human capital. But financial, I think, somehow, somewhere, there is a way to go, there is a way, there are way out. But then we do not take up those things, just like the Nagata Dam.
Yeah,
the kind of investment. And even because the company who's an economist, he went there and he really agreed and said, oh, is this what is going to come out from this thing? But it's a private company that need to be there. It's not the government. The government has just created a thing for you, for us, to get in there. But if you are not going to mobilize for financial resources to go in there, those who want to do any other project, because you can also do this income generating activity, maybe gardening or these other things. If we are not doing that, perhaps we do not see that vision.
I definitely agree with you. There are in some cases, for example, I something I said yesterday, the government make money available to build, you know, stadium, you know, for 25, 26, to build stadium in each constituency. You understand? And the money is available. So, okay, do you hear anywhere in any constituency where people have started?
You see, some of the things we need to tell ourselves, the governors who are giving that directive, that responsibility, that mandate, we ourselves also given to us.
Exactly.
So for us now, we should start identifying the area, the potential area or the sectors that are that have got the potential to absorb or to generate income for us. Then we should start going to our office constituency. Maybe the committee that you are talking about,
exactly,
we also don't focus on that and say, fine, the president has given this directive.
Yeah.
You are the governor.
It's not even a directive. It's money available for this to, you know, for people to implement. It's not even a directive. You know? It's money available.
Imagine.
Yeah?
So for us now, create those structures, liaise with the leadership there, political leaders and the village head, and say, yes, yeah, and some of them should also do some kind of assessment and say, yes, in our constituency, if you are a plumber, so how many people do you think, because that is, there are a lot of infrastructure that will be created there, constructed. Now maybe what you can do now is say, in this constituency of ours, there are schools, that some of them are going to be constructed, there are what? How do I then get my application through, maybe through the constituency council office and all these other things? What are the opportunities that are there that I can do? Maybe we need to also look at ourselves and say, yes, if you do not have manpower, are there no artisans who are not employed? Are there no accountants who are not employed? What is it that you can do now to expand your business and also convince for those people who are funding and say, yes, like yesterday they were talking about funding and the lady was saying, it's not about money on the radio here. Mm. It's not about money. Sometimes it's just our energy and our home, how to craft up your proposal, and the company has volunteer. You guys bring your funding proposal here. I can assist you. We go to these other people here. Nobody brought anything.
Yeah,
Kanzo was so disappointed. Thank you very much, Michael, for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming through.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, 8666091. Let's get to, you know, let's move to, because what is our time? Quarter past the hour of nine. So let me not go with this story quickly. I want to just do quickly the industrial, quick industrial brief. In today's edition of The Villager, and when we have it, we bring it here, because I want you to welcome you to the industrial brief. And I would say this is brought to you by The Villager. Now, first up is a story from the financial world that shows just how much confidence investors actually have in Namibia. So that's what Uncle Bona was talking yesterday, or day before yesterday. The Bank of Namibia held an audition. Yesterday, Bank of Namibia held an audition
an auction, not an audition, an auction for treasury bills. Think of this as a short-term loans that people and companies give to the government. And let me tell you, investors were practically fighting to give the government their money. They were practically fighting to give the government their money. So the government wanted to borrow about 380 million Namibian dollar. But investor came rushing in with bids totaling over $1.1 billion. So that's almost three times what was on the table. So even with all that interest, the central bank only ended up borrowing a little over $418 million. So this happened as the government was getting ready to pay back about $1.4 billion in old and maturing bills. So what does this mean for definitely you and me? It's a strong signal, okay? It's a strong signal when investors are still eager to lend our government money, even at a lower interest rate. It means they see Namibia as a safe and stable place to invest. So it's, as I said, it's a very strong signal. And it's a vote of confidence in our country's financial management, so which is actually a very good thing. Now, let's switch gears from the big money numbers to something that affect all of us every day, our wallet. So have you tried to deposit the new banknote in an ATM recently? You know, only for the machine actually to spit them back out. I did try that. So it's been a frustrating problem for many. So, well, we have something good news. We have some good news here. We have some good news. Bank Windhoek has stepped up and become the first bank in the country to solve this issue. So they upgraded their cash deposit at ATMs across Namibia to now accept all the new notes from the $10 right up to 200. Even the special commemorative 30 note. So now you can actually So now they can accept all the new notes. So the bank leadership says this shows their commitment to making banking easier and more secure for their customers. So they have worked hard to update their system to recognize all the new security features of the notes, like the colored, there's those colors shifting ink and the see-through security windows, especially when it comes $30 note, commemorating note. So if you are a bank, Bank Windhoek customers, depositing your cash just got a whole lot easier. So, and you can bet, the other local banks are working hard to catch up and upgrade their own machines very soon. So, and finally, we often think of Namibia as a desert, but the reality is incredibly diverse. Namibia is incredibly diverse. The Minister of Mine of Environment, Forestry and Tourism has highlighted that Namibia is home to over 200 distinct ecosystem types. So that's right, 200. So from the savanna to the coastlines, this diversity is not just beautiful. It is the backbone of our tourism industry and essential for the livelihood of many communities, especially in our rural areas. Now, the minister pointed out a powerful fact. Nearly half of Namibian land is already protected through national parks and community conservancies. So this is a huge, huge, huge achievement. It shows that we are empowering local people to take ownership of their environment, creating jobs and protecting our natural heritage at the same time. So, yeah, her message was very clear. Investing in nature now save us a lot of money later. So It is cheaper to protect an ecosystem than it is to try and restore it after it has been damaged. So the government is working to get more international funding for this effort, but they are also calling on private sectors to get more involved, because protecting our environment is everyone's actually business. So just to recap today's brief, investors are showing strong faith in Namibia's economy. Bank Windhoek is making life easier for its customer with the new banknotes. And we are reminded that our incredible natural diversity is a national asset worth protecting. So, and that's a wrap up for this segment on Industrial Brief from The Villager. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Are you ready?
Yes, Tate.
How
are you?
Sure.
Your sound, So, what's up, man?
I don't know whether you are still with the topic that you were having concerning
rice,
sending more monies outside just because of rice or something like that.
Yeah, no, you can go ahead with that one.
The problem is, Kucha, we never want to take advantage. But even something is under our nose, we just don't want to do it.
Exactly.
It's here, it's there, the potential is there, we have got the market, we have got the number, and that already projects the purchasing power per parity.
Yeah.
We can buy as long as we can buy it like that, because once you start doing it yourself at home, you are no longer going to spend that kind of money, that amount of money that you are spending there. And the advantage that we have is the money that always flows. I've watched as to how the Chinese grow. They grow the rice more there in the water. So, to me, seems to be...
Exactly. Some of these areas could, I mean, this is what the farmers actually said. There are areas, especially in rain plains, that the plains, flood plains.
The flood plains where this water flows. And they stay for 2 or 3 months, they stay there. So what you need to do is to create a platform where you can contain them and always make sure that you bring them in. Once they are drying up, you bring them in. Because that amount of water that flows there and just go unused.
Yeah, they stood there for about 3 or 4 months.
But somehow, who's responsible? Which sectors of the government is actually responsible for that? Even to create a very good conducive environment for businesses to come in, or even for farmers to come in. So how much does the Ministry of Agriculture and Land get from the GDPs? How much do they get? I think it's less than 300,000.
The question is, when you're talking about food security, how do you intend to go about it? If something, as you said, this is something right in front of your nose.
That is one of the agable questions that we have asked. When you are talking about that, obviously, how do you intend to go if you don't take advantage of that?
Exactly. How do you intend to go? This is the most easiest you can do, seriously. So how do you plan to go about food security in the country as a priority? Then you wonder, if you cannot be able to do this, I don't think there's anything that you'll be able to do.
You know, one thing that keeps me up every night is these elders of us, they somehow undermine us very, very much.
Yeah.
That we couldn't do anything, even by thinking or actually practically doing something. But for me, I always think, people say you learn you learn from your parents.
Yeah.
I don't know what are they going to left for us that we can take in futures and pass it over to the new generation and say, look, this is what we learn from our elder.
Yeah. At this point in time, there isn't nothing, actually. No. At this point in time, there is nothing.
Obviously, there is nothing. And we have been speaking. We have been speaking left and right, but nothing is actually being picked up. I have noticed that, I think in 2020, 2019, we got money from the African Development Bank. And I think this money was divided among the government sectors.
Yeah.
One of the sectors being the Ministry of Agriculture, whereby a lot of tractors was actually bought and distributed to the government farmers. If you go to the government farmers right now, those tractors are unused. They are still there, brand new. The tires are getting old and so on. And you wonder, what was the reason then?
Mm.
Eh? What was the reason?
And there are farmers that need those tractors.
And they're not right now, so they are scrambling to get tractors to plow.
Yeah.
Because some of the fields are very much big.
Yeah. And even those, they are few and they are also expensive. Believe me. From the standard, because this is our government tractors, they are very, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive. Their time is actually going up, and then they are not going to leave us with anything that we can actually pass over. It seems that we are going to try and learn everything on our own.
Now, one thing I'm really certain, and I keep saying it, that our political system has to change. Because in the dump where we are, it's because of our political system.
Yeah.
You know, this whole question of listing, and I'm not blaming any and a ruling party. It's just the system that we use in Africa and even in Namibia. This whole question of people that candidate that we put up for our party, and some of them they are not even, you know, relevant, qualified for whatever. Let's say, for example, you're a councillor. We were talking, Sankwaso were talking about, you know, qualified councillors.
Yeah.
On
the Minister of Agriculture, I wrote on the Minister of Agriculture.
Yeah.
Just because of a paper.
Yeah.
Someone who does not even know how to take the cattle to waters or even to plow or how to sow. And you, because of a paper, you make him a director.
Yeah. We don't even question certain things, you know, when we have reshuffle of even ministers. How can you just, this person have no clue, have no background in that area. And you're putting them in charge of that. First of all, it's going to take time for them to learn and to make any difference in that environment. You know?
Mike, let me tell you, I'm not boasting. I'm from the north. I live almost 75% of here in Windhoek.
Yeah.
But in every December, I have to make sure that the field of Mahangu is worked.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know the price of the top score. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
But I go to the shop, I'll buy macaroni, but Oshifima, I eat Oshifima.
Yeah.
That 50, when I came with 50. So that is what I have learned from my people.
Yeah.
The elder there in the north. I have to make sure kuja ongo the angel poiri and purura and those kind of things. Some people, they go to where? Swakop.
Yeah.
Valves by. Hmm? Do you expect that person working in the Ministry of Agriculture to say, look, we need to come up with food security? He doesn't know any theoretically of food security.
Yeah.
When I make sure that I'm not going to buy a top score from ShopRite, I provide myself with this food security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Seriously, there are certain things that we also, And this is one thing of my whole idea when I come here, certain things that I'm presenting is that we need to know we need to strengthen the citizen to take responsibility in their hands, you know.
Yeah, I wanted also to extend this.
Yeah,
you know, there are certain food that people does not eat. They don't eat because they just don't eat because they don't eat it at all. It's just because this kind of product food were not made available to them.
Yeah.
Same for instance, people that are innovative, if we can extend this food to various tribes, they can come up with good product, they can add value to this product.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that if even Mahangu, you know, Mahangu is consumed by almost about 75% of the Namibian peoples.
Yeah.
That's a huge number of people.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And Mahangu is very good when it comes to kids.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to advertise our own food also.
Yeah.
We need to, you see, I just don't know what to do, obviously, when it comes to our government. Perhaps maybe we are also to be blamed. Something really need to be done, especially that money is a lot of money that we somehow send outside. We can have that money and redirect it to other sectors.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for coming, Sri.
All right, thank you.
Okay, have a great weekend.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, and that's bring us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day. But we have some announcement here. Our first announcement is that there will be a change. There will be a change of on over the weekend schedule. The Tate France will actually do the realm of historic from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then I think that used to be on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, if it's on Saturday. So, but it's moved from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Saturday. And one of my favorite show comes Elizabeth World that normally come from, actually it used to be from Saturday 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Now it's moving to Sunday evening from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, from 20 hours to 23 hours. So just take note of those change. Some of your favorite programs that have actually moved, you know, the realm of the historics, from tomorrow, it will be aired from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. On Saturdays, it will be then on Saturdays, and then the Elizabeth World that used to be aired on Saturday at 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock will now move to Sunday evening from 8 o'clock to 11 in the evening. The other announcement is that the One Africa is urgently looking for Maria Hamkwaya. Last contact is 30 January was a message from Maria to her manager saying she is unsafe in a taxi in Windhoek, possibly being abducted. Now her phone has since been off. Now, the vehicle description of the taxi that have taken Maria was red, a Mazda Demio. Tax number is F 110. Tax number is F 110. Now, call further media if you have seen this taxi or have information on 083-000-1000. So if you have seen this taxi and you have information, call 08 083-000-100. All right. So those are the two announcements for you. All right. And that brings us to the end of our show this morning. So let's do that again next week here on Eagle FM. So, yeah, we'll see each other tomorrow again around 11 to 1 o'clock on Mind Matter. So I will leave you now in the hands of Okamati Kokapofi, Mbarangaja, coming up with Kutamosha. So I'm handing over to Wintuk for Tate France with Kutamosha. From me, Michael Shaveri, have a great weekend and see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock, at 11 to 1 o'clock with Mind Matter. From me, a goodbye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any